This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us today for the first time on our show, Mike Mayock, currently doing the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. Mike, appreciate your time today.
Spike and Ike, what's happening, boys?
What's up, Mike?
So I have to say this, Mike. After like 5 minutes of doing a radio show with my dad, I want to murder him. How is it doing the podcast with your daughter constantly? is any clashing or is it okay?
I'm guessing she feels the same way about me.
Sounds good.
Oh, man, she loves doing this because of you. Yeah, because of you.
Ike, I always like talking to you, man. You see that glass half full, brother.
Yeah. So Mike, it's been an interesting few days in Eagles land with AJ's comment after the game on Sunday, then Brandon Graham on Monday, then both guys talking about it yesterday. Just from watching this evolve, what has been your gut instinct in seeing all of this?
I mean, do you want my overview of what I saw on tape on the game Sunday and what I think they can do to fix it, or are you just talking about locker room culture?
I guess let's do the – I want both, actually. But let's do the on-tape thing second and the dynamics of what happened first.
Yeah, I don't think people outside Philadelphia or the Northeast realize how tough a corridor this is in the NFL. I mean, there are other cities around the country where this wouldn't even be a ripple. You know, I was the Raiders GM for 3 years, and I used to kind of just think back to all the press conferences I was a part of at Philly and say, wow, this is different. but having said that, I saw – you know, we all went through what happened last year, and that's constantly a specter. And you see the sideline language. Then you hear the comment afterwards, what's wrong with the offense, passing, you know. So I get all that. But every wide receiver or almost every wide receiver I've ever met in my life that's any good has some diva in them. And they all want the frickin' ball, every one of them. And I don't blame them. That's part of what makes them great. So there's a part of me that says, let's just relax. It's really not that big a deal. And what surprised me was the Brandon Graham thing on Monday when he came out and started talking about the relationship between the two, et cetera. I think that kind of added fuel to the fire, opened the door a little bit wider for speculation. So I think it's really important that they come out and play really good football. I think A.J. Brown is smart enough. I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows what's going on. I think Jalen is a really smart guy. He knows what's going on. And, you know, on the one hand, Nick has got to get the football to AJ to calm things down. On the other hand, you can't be obvious and you can't overdo it. So there's a fine line, and I'd like to think the Eagles are going to be able to navigate it.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing, Mike, and I know the players are – the primary principles when discussing this thing. But the way Nick Sirianni has sort of handled this week as well, I've been thoroughly impressed with him and sort of how he's trying to keep this thing together. How do you think he navigates through all of this himself?
Yeah, I think it's important that your leader stands up and takes everything on himself. And then I think the other thing they have, Ike, that helps them this year maybe more than last year is they've got a couple of really mature coordinators Mm-hmm. You know, between, so I think the defense is playing at a completely different level, and I think Vic Fangio's a big part of that.
Yeah.
I think the offense, Kellen Moore, comes in, and neither of them gets really shaken. This team's been kind of remade, and Saquon Barkley is the story, and I think they have an identity, which I didn't know what their identity was last year, even when they were winning a lot of games. Mm-hmm. This is a physical, tough football team that wants to close out games running the football. That's a great identity. Play great defense. And so to answer your question, I think Nick's doing a good job. I also think the coordinators will take a bigger piece of this and help them play at a high level on Sunday. And we all know the better they play on Sunday, the less this is a story.
Mike Mayock is with us now.
Yep.
So Mike, but onto the what you see on tape in the passing game, because I think we can all agree, though they have a running identity, there does seem to be a lot of meat left on the bone in the passing game. So what are you seeing there?
This is really intriguing. And I go back to players make plays, okay? And the Eagles are really fortunate that they have 11 and 6. They're two of the best wideouts in all of football. So they have to be on high alert for whenever you get a single matchup on either one of those guys, right? And because of Barkley, they get more single high safety looks and more single coverage than elite receivers around the league usually do. And that's because of Barkley, okay? Uh-huh. So whenever Jalen Hurts gets to the line of scrimmage and gets single coverage on one of those two guys, he's got to make a concerted effort to get the ball to him. And I think the key word here is trust. Jalen's got to trust that if he throws a comeback early, gets the ball out of his hands and throws it early, even if J.C. Horn looks like he's in pretty good position, he's got to trust that his wide receiver isn't going to let him undercut the route. Uh-huh. Okay? You don't stare him down and pat the ball twice and then decide to throw it elsewhere. There was a play in the first half on 3rd and 7, and it was a classic pre-snap, single high, press coverage, J.C. Horn on A.J. Brown, 3rd and 7. And your eyes as a quarterback have to light up, and you got to let that guy go make a play. I don't care if it's back shoulder, high point, I don't care what it is, but he's your dog, go feed him. Mm-hmm. Force the ball into him and trust that A.J. is going to take care of you, okay? What happened on that play is he looked right at him, patted the ball, took some time, and made a bad throw late over the middle to a backup tight end. And I would ask you the question, would you rather have him throwing in rhythm to A.J. Brown one-on-one on any corner in the league with a back shoulder potential, or just try to hope to get it to a backup tight end over the middle and pick up the first down? And so the combination of those two things, like that single high one-on-one matchup, and also the comeback, the digs, the deep curls that take a little time to develop. Several times he looked right at both of those guys and decided not to try to fit it in. Again, trust them. Trust those guys. They're great players. They'll take care of you. They're not going to let that corner undercut it. So I think Jalen's got to trust it more. And the last thing I would say about that is that I think he's taken better care of the football, and I think a lot of it is a direct result of last year with all the turnovers. I think he's trying to be really careful, but when you got two guys like that in single coverage, you got to force that ball in.
Yeah.
So, you know, how would you grade Jalen's progression from where he was as a second round pick to now? We actually went back and looked at some of the draft prospectus stuff on him before, and looking at his strengths and weaknesses, and you can kind of see him now. How have you seen him evolve as a quarterback since then?
I think it's been really interesting because, like, I played against him in 21 when I was with the Raiders, and watching the tape before the game, I was just hoping they wouldn't take the harness off of him. It looked like they were trying not to let him make too many mistakes. He wasn't running the ball as much. And I was hoping we could get through that game without him figuring out that the better an athlete he is, the more it's going to hurt us. And we beat the Eagles that day, and I remember thinking back, wow, this kid's going to be a good player. And then in the Super Bowl year, everybody thinks, okay, franchise quarterback, right? That's who he's trending towards.
Yep.
And then last year you've got all the stuff in the locker room – You've got 20 turnovers and all kinds of questions about the most important position in all of pro sports. So to answer your question, Spike, you go back to the, you know, what he was, what does he do best? What he does best is RPO, throw the ball in rhythm, some play action, get the ball out, and use his legs when necessary. What I would tell you for the Eagles to get to where they want to go to is he's going to have to ultimately win more in the pocket on time. And it goes back to what we just talked about, which is trust those two wideouts you got. Get the ball out of your hands quickly on time and trust them. They're going to win more often than they lose. And don't forget about 26. He's special. You got a great offensive line. So I just think part of it, Spike, is that he's so worried about turning the ball over. And you got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
He has cut way back. Mm-hmm. They've won 9 games in a row or whatever it is. I mean, you got to give the kid some credit. I would just like to see him continue to develop in the pocket.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, Mike. I think you certainly want to commend him for the job he's doing, taking care of football, is leading the wins. But if you're the Eagles, and as you progress here and hopefully playing in the late January and February, you also want to still encourage him that you do have those guys on the outside, and that can make your job a little easier as well. So you want to get them the ball, too, as opposed to not getting them the ball.
And especially in high-percentage opportunities where it's man-to-man, whether it's press or off, you got two elite receivers getting a lot of looks against single man.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it. Recognize it and take advantage of it.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate the time. Believe in Eagles is the pod, and it's great to have you on, man. I appreciate it. Short notice as well. We reach out to you this afternoon, so thanks so much.
Spike and Ike, man, anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, brother. Yes, sir.
There he is.
Mike Mayock.
There he is, Mike Mayock.
Another GM, man.
Dude, we got one GM left. We're like, let's go find another GM.
Let's go find
Fritz.
Find these GMs, man.
I was like, Fritz, we lost a GM. How do we get another GM? He's like, I got an idea. I'm going to get a GM. He went and he got a GM.
Right from this area.
Look, they say Fritz can't produce, and I tell them that's wrong.
That's right.
And today is proof that he can.
And Lombardi's dead to us.
Dead.
Much in Tiki Barber's smile, relax. But he went on McAfee today. You're telling me that's a bigger platform than this?
Come on. I mean, well, this is WIP in Philadelphia.
Well, Mike, lock in.
Afternoon show.
Mike's got Chapel Hill on his mind.
Oh, no, wrong. Chapel Bill.
Oh, Chapel Bill.
Chapel Bill.
Chapel Bill. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck down there in Chapel Hill, man.
You know, Jack did offer to Lombardi that we could just talk about the Sixers today for one last, and he did pass up. I do think at some point, once he settles in, when maybe the day before the Sixers parade for making the play-in, we'll get Lombardi on.
I got a little bit of an issue here.
What?
He couldn't come on here and break this story down with us.
I know.
Dude. 10-15 minutes?
Yes. I mean, you're on here every week with us.
So what if the city of Philadelphia hates college football?
It doesn't matter.
That's not the point. We want to hear about Bill Belichick going to college football and why you're going with him as his GM. By the way, you notice college football has GMs now.
Yes. Well, that's what Woj left to be GM of St. Bonaventure, their basketball team.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
You're right. And whatchamacallit is with Stanford.
Andrew Luck,
old quarterback.
Right?
No, the old quarterback.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Andrew Luck.
Is this you officially putting your hat in the ring to run Michigan State?
I'm just saying, man. If they call me,
dude, there's no way.
Let me tell you, there's only a few jobs I leave this job for.
For GM, you would leave for GM
at my old school.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
College football GM.
What come on, man.
Now, can I just whisper into your ear? This is for nobody else.
Yes.
Ike. I was in management at one point. It sucks. It sucks so bad.
Everybody mad at me because I can't get players to stay.
Bro, you don't even like
money
email.
In the NIL. Yeah.
You don't know how many emails you're going to have to check? And you're not even going to be able to use your AOL one. You're going to have to use @MitchState.edu or whatever.
I got to get a new email?
Yes. And check it out. You're going to have to change your password every 3 months.
You're right. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, all right. Good.
I'm here.
Good. Yeah, I want you to live your dreams, but.
I'm just saying, at the school calls, I got to do duty calls. I got to go.
Well, when Kirk Cousins retires, he'll take the job.
I mean, I'm just saying, if Bloomberg called you to be the GM or the coach of the baseball team.
Much rather stay here.
By the way, they're not calling
for us. You wouldn't go coach the baseball team.
No.
Oh, you're so soft, man.
I love the program. I left after 2 years to do this. You know,
you're not a part of the program anymore either.
I disagree.
They don't honor you.
That's not true. I get multiple requests to come talk to the kids. You know, it's ridiculous. For someone that achieved so little and arguably the biggest bust in Bloomsburg baseball history, they seem to always need me for something.
That's true. You know, well, you are a personality.
Well,
now.
I was almost named the one of the athletes of the last decade.
Oh, wow.
At Bloomsburg, because everyone just started writing me in.
I would have rioted if that happened.
It was me. I think the Final Four was me, Jari Evans,
yes,
who was an NFL Hall of Famer. And like Franklin Quiete or something, another running back. Larry Webster, the Detroit Lion, for a minute.
I was going to say that name did sound familiar. Okay, Larry Webster.
And then me.
O-lineman?
D-end.
By the way, okay. Calling yourself the biggest bust in Bloomsburg history is probably giving yourself a little too much credit.
That's true, Spike. I got the most money on the team and never played.
Wait, what?
What do you mean you got the most money on the team?
Like scholarship money.
Oh,
okay.
NIL Fritz.
Oh, what, you think I got a bag dropped off my house?
You got a bag. You may have got a duffel bag. I don't know.
There's no secret meetings to land Fritz at Bloomsburg.
Yeah, what car was Fritz driving at Bloomsburg? I want to know.
My 2003 Honda Accord. Yeah. Got on.
You didn't get free oil changes with that thing? When you were
hold
there?
On. There was Quaker Steak and Lube up there.
Yeah.
What?
That was the biggest restaurant in town, Quaker Steak and Lube.
Wait a minute. That's a real restaurant?
Yes, yeah. I've eaten at one of those before.
And do they do oil changes there too?
No.
No, there's a bunch of car parts. I don't know why. It doesn't really make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah, the inside of the what do you call it? The decoration in there is a lot of...
Oh, cars.
Yeah, stuff, yeah. I actually have eaten up there. My daughter played volleyball up that way.
Oh, really?
It's a central of the state staple.
Yeah, it's York, PA. That's the York, PA area.
So we're heading
horse
into...
Horse and buggies. I've seen horse and carriages out there, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. If we go north, it's less than that.
Well, where is Bloomsburg specifically?
It's like an hour east of Penn State. So it's the middle of like...
Further away from Penn State?
No, it's like near York. It's east of State College and west of Scranton. So like right in the middle of Scranton. And State College.
Oh, so higher than York is.
Yes.
York is north. Further south. Okay.
North.
Yeah.
All right. Well, every day this week.
Enough Bloomsburg knowledge.
Yeah. It's way too much.
Every day this week, we are giving away tickets to go see Creed.
Yes.
That's right. Creed is playing the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. If you don't know what that is, it used to be the Tweeter Center. It used to be the Blockbuster or Pavilion, whatever it was called before that. But it's the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion now in Camden, July 12th. Tickets on sale, 10 a.m. Friday, Ticketmaster.com. But we have tickets every day at 4:30. And one of our ticket winners is going to get pit tickets, going to get upgraded. Here's what you do. You call now if you're interested. But let me explain to you what you got to do. We're going to play you a clip of a Creed song, and you have to sing the next line. You can't say the next line. You have to sing the next line with your gut. You have to put your chest out there, really sing it, and you got to get the words right. So 215-592-9494. We have the Creed tickets now. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You're listening to the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. All week at 4:30, we have tickets to give away to see the return of Creed, July 12th. At the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden. Tickets go on sale 10 a.m. tomorrow at Ticketmaster.com. Ooh. We'll give away tickets all week at 4:30, and then one grand prize winner will get pit tickets. It is Creed, Three Doors Down, Daughtry.
I like the emphasis you put on Daughtry.
I was watching Daughtry videos, live Daughtry videos.
Like American Idol Daughtry or recent
TikTok, TikTok live from recent shows, the Daughtry. I love that tune, Home. Over You, I'm a Daughtry guy, too.
No, Daughtry had a nice little soft rock run
mid-2000s. I like Daughtry. So we're giving away these tickets. Here is the deal. We're going to put you on the air. We're going to play a clip of a Creed song. It will end, and then you have to sing the next line. Sing the next line and get it correct. And if you do, you get tickets to the Creed show. All right. Apparently, people were calling very early for this as well. So that's what Jack told me. So Ken in Upper Darby was first. Ken, are you prepared to sing for your Creed tickets?
Yeah, I am.
Now, Ken, you know you have to sing it, like sing it with your chest, you know, and you have to get it right. Are you prepared for this?
I do Creed for karaoke, so this should be a no-brainer.
Oh, my God.
He's getting cocky.
All right.
Always the cocky ones,
yeah.
Man.
All right. Hit it, Jack.
With arms wide open, under the sunlight.
Keep going.
Welcome to this place. I'll show you everything.
Yes! Oh, he's just going to keep going. You got it, buddy. You got it.
Wow.
There it is.
First one.
It's almost like a pro. He's like a ringer.
Right, he does out the gate.
Might have to join us for 5:30.
Yeah, Creed karaoke. Well done, brother. You got a pair of tickets to go see Creed July 12th at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion.
Wow.
Good job.
How about that?
Fantastic. Thank you, guys.
You got it, Ken. I'll put you on hold.
That was pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we did the Lincoln Park one, everybody got it right away, but then we had five people, I think, get it wrong for
the
hire
other day.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you missed it.
Which was actually funny.
Oh, dude, it was great. It was great. They kept getting it wrong the same way. That was the or and the fakers. There were the fakers that were just
those are the ones that are funny. Yeah.
Just saying noises instead of actually.
I've heard that Creed song.
You haven't heard with Arms Wide Open?
Unless I may need more of it to recognize.
It was a big one.
That was
a big
one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because Jack didn't give me much like runway. It was like a couple of words, and it was like, all right, sing.
He nailed it.
He did.
He could have done the rest of the chorus if I wanted him to.
Yeah.
So Ken got it right. So, again, we'll have another pair of tickets tomorrow. Tickets go on sale 10 a.m. tomorrow, Ticketmaster.com. We're very excited for the return of Creed. Before we get back to the phones, I want to pose a question to you, Mr. Ike Reese. And I asked Shiel this earlier. Sunday's game, I give you a choice. They either win, but they look like they have the last couple of weeks, or they lose, and the passing game looks improved and functional, not like it has over the last few weeks. What would you rather have? The win, but it looks exactly the same way, or a loss and a good passing game?
No, I'll take the win, and it looking exactly the same way.
Really?
Yeah. I got to add that number one seed. Like, that's where I'm still locked in at. I'm still locked in on the number one seed. Then Saquon's rushing record is the next thing I want. I mean, Eric Dickerson's rushing record.
Yep.
But I also wanted to break 2,000 and get to the record. And then I'm like, all right, the passing game looks good. Awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
So I think Sunday's game is...
I have lowered the bar. Mike.
You have truly.
I've lowered the bar. I gotta admit it.
You want to see if we can get the number one seed and then see what happens.
Yeah,
in the
let the home field advantage carry us to the Super Bowl.
So I'm a little conflicted on this one, mm-hmm. in that I think the game on Sunday is massive, and I want to call it a must win. Mm-hmm. Like, it reminds me very much of the week before the Giants game. And I thought it was so important that they win that Giants game. They did go out and do it.
After the Cleveland game.
After the Cleveland game, after the Sirianni stuff.
Yep.
Everyone rallied together.
Yep.
So part of me is saying that the same thing has to happen. They have to go in and win this game. And I agree with you on the number one seed, though I think the chances of them getting it is small. But I agree with you that it is Detroit's offense, much different in the dome as opposed to out of the dome. But I keep just thinking about the bigger thing to me, which is not just winning the Super Bowl, but settling things down. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell if they win, but it looks the same. If it's actually going to settle things down, or if they're passing the ball in a meaningful way, and I'm not saying go out and throw it. Please don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying go out and throw it 38 times.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if the passing game looks functional, and he's throwing to AJ and all these things, I almost feel like that does more to sort of calm the seas than a win looking the way they've looked the last couple of weeks, especially in the passing game.
I would say this to that. I would leave that up more to Kellen Moore as far as play designs, meaning stuff that's going to get AJ the ball, easier throws, and then Jalen has to execute it. I don't try to force it. And that's what I'm really wondering, if that's going to be the case Sunday. Because even Kellen Moore
said,
yeah, like you got the offensive coordinator saying they got to try to get the ball to AJ a little bit more and in a more effective way. And I get it. He is an outstanding player. He needs the ball in his hands. I get it. But it's not more important than winning. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying,
right?
But I don't want Jalen to be forcing the ball to AJ. I don't want Kellen Moore to dial up a bunch of passing plays saying, okay, this will keep everybody quiet and we get away from the running game. Because this is a defense that gets after you. They create turnovers. And you know where turnovers mostly happen? In the passing game. Yeah.
You know,
in the passing game.
It's almost like if Kellen Moore doesn't do anything different and Hurts throws the ball when it's there and doesn't...
That should be good enough.
The difference, it might not seem like a big difference between throwing it 20 times and 26 times or whatever, but when you're only throwing it that many times, that number of throws could mean a lot. And it's not just not throwing it to AJ. I want to be clear. He's taking sacks he shouldn't.
Yep.
He's escaping clean pockets,
yep,
all those things. So it's almost like if they call the game, because them throwing it more has more to do with Jalen than it has to do with Kellen Moore, because they're calling pass plays.
Yeah, there's opportunities there.
You know, so
yeah, yes.
So I think it's on Jalen probably more than it's on Kellen Moore in that specific instance.
That's fair.
215-592-9494, talking about this comment from Jalen Hurts yesterday about where he is and what people can expect from him. Here's what Jalen Hurts had to say.
You heard him. You heard him.
Well, he's been in hiding at 215-592-9494, but he has returned.
Ah.
Yeah, it's shocking that he's been in hiding. OG Wade, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, I'm a little disappointed in you, OG. I'm a little disappointed.
Let me say this here. Let me land my plane here, okay? Y'all have to remember, I'm out here. Listen, I'm talking to the Duke. I talked to him. I just got off the phone with him. Y'all,
would you stop making up?
Yeah, stop lying. We do have a no lying.
Let me do my work, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm big to this show, and I'm trying to bring y'all some organic information. Y'all want to sit here and mess around and play games? Listen, sometime. Listen,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I just heard Mike. Mike's my boy. I agree with a lot of what he's saying, but what I disagree with is that Jalen can't just start letting it go and trusting anymore. You know what I'm saying? He did that. That's how he ended up with 15 interceptions last year. That's how he had the interceptions he had this year. If you look at the interceptions, very few of them was basically poor decisions on his part. The interceptions comes from a combination. When your players are supposed to be at a spot, when they're supposed to be there, and they're not there, it's an interception. So now he's gun-shy. Now he's trying. He's been coached by Sirianni. Take care of the ball. If it's not there, throw it away. If it's not there, now the sacks y'all are talking about, and I want you to picture this here. Picture, like, macaronis, right? Each one of them individual. But what we're doing as a fan base is that we're waiting for the end of the game, and then we put it all together in the box, and then we say that game was bad. There were some good plays in that game. There were some bad plays in that game. And I think what Jalen is trying to tell us all is that there's things that he's got to do that he's got to do. Everybody can go and look at an All-22. We all can look at video after the game. I heard Hugh Douglas say he was up at the booth. He seen A.J. Watt running wide open. That was a bad play on Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not act like he didn't make any good plays in that game. You know the one important thing, Ike, is, and this fight, is that this man played what we call his worst game. We say he had a bad game. You know what he had? He had 3 touchdowns. We had a W that clinched a playoff berth. Is there room for improvement? You damn right. Does he have to play better? You damn right. But let's not sit here and act like that's what Jalen Hurts puts on the field every week. Can we not do that?
Well, I think that's true. I think the concern is that there's definitely been, it hasn't just been 1 week. I think it's been a few weeks of stepping back, and it felt like the game against Carolina was just the final step in that. But it felt like it had been going there for a few weeks. And I think that is why people have been, that's why the alarm has been sounded more over the last few weeks than it had previously.
Spike and Ike.
Yes.
Did y'all notice when he did that tush push, right? What they call the Snoopy. You see that linebacker prying the ball out of his hand in the end zone? You realize he hurt his hand on that play, right?
I didn't notice.
So what I'm saying to you guys, he's even on the injury report with the hand right now. But what I'm saying to you guys is that we don't know what goes on. We know that that game there was uncharacteristic of Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
So everybody wants to know what was he doing? What was you looking at? What was you? You know, I'm looking at linebackers jumping in the passing lane. So, and again, I'm not saying he played good. I'm telling you that was his. To me, that was one of his worst games I've seen him play. But the fact that you can play at your worst and win, and you know what the main thing is? Because he got a team behind him. He's got a defense that can back him up when he does not play well, when he does make mistakes, and when he's evolving, as we say in Spike. He's learning a new offense. So, able to do that, no, understand something. We're 11-2. So
yeah.
Ain't no excuses for nothing. I don't have to make no excuse for this young man. But I tell you what, we don't know him to be a loser. That's what we don't know.
Oh, that's true.
Him.
Yeah, listen, he wins games now. Yeah, I've said that.
Yeah.
I've said that, and I think kind of what he was saying is that it may not be in an impressive fashion, but you know what you're going to get in the end. I'll ask you this, OG, because it seems like you've had a little bit of an epiphany yourself. You don't sound as, you know, it don't sound like you got your back up as much.
About time. We want real analysis on this show.
Yeah. I love it.
Real
I love
analysis.
It. So don't change it. I love it. It's honesty. You and you're still there and believing in him. You haven't thrown in the towel. Let me ask you this: Is it good enough? Is it good enough to win in the playoffs?
What I did, Ike, is that I look back at Tampa Bay Super Bowl with Kansas City.
Okay.
Tom Brady. He won that Super Bowl with 200 yards, right? You know what the driving force in that game was?
The defense. Yep.
Stop Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
So I'm thinking.
I was looking at the other Bucks team, maybe like 2002, 2003, and their
Nobody's
quarterback.
Talking about that team.
And that quarterback and that defense.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm thinking.
Hear me out. I know y'all got something going on. Okay, I know it.
That's a shot at me. That's Jack with his nonsense.
Oh, okay.
Well, similar right, quarterbacks.
Let me just say this here, right?
Yes.
If we, I cannot, me personally, I can't go to one game that we needed Jalen Hurts to throw the ball, and he disappointed us to win the game. I can't. I mean, now, I'm sure there is games out there. I can't in my mind.
But nothing sticks out. Yeah, nothing sticks out. Yeah.
One game.
Yeah.
So I believe if we run the ball effectively, if our O-line win their battle up front and our D-line win their battle up front and Jalen Hurts turns the ball over the least, guess what's going to happen, Ike?
We're going to win.
That's the OG Way 4-play system, baby. What the hell you talking about? You talking about numbers. It don't matter.
There it
don't
is.
So the OG Way 4-point system is everybody else does their thing really, really good, and Jalen gets the credit for the win.
There you go.
All right. All right, OG.
All right, brother.
There he
good
is.
To hear from you.
OG Way. Wow. Came out of hiding. A more realistic.
I like
that OG Way.
Yes. Not coming in looking for a fight, just coming in looking for a convo.
Which is, quite frankly, it's a distraction.
Yeah, but it's fine.
No, I'm talking about when he comes in wanting to do the fighting thing.
Oh, yes.
It's because you don't want to necessarily address what's happening.
Yes.
Yeah. But listen, I'll take that. Maybe OG Wade, much like Jalen Hurts, doesn't need to throw the ball or call as much.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so maybe
call twice
a week, maybe, if we get that OG.
That's a good
OG.
Okay,
that's a good point.
It's a good OG.
All right.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Men's Night is back tonight at Mark's Jewelers. Holiday shopping with an open bar, food trucks, and more. Finish your holiday shopping strong at Mark's Jewelers. By the way, the final count on Zombieland is 65% yes and 35% no. I would tell you guys that you should watch it.
That's a win for you, by the way.
It is.
I'm still waiting to watch True Romance.
True Romance, yeah. I need you guys to watch True Romance.
I get the Zombieland some that off season.
Zombieland's good, but it's not True Romance.
Is it a long movie?
Zombieland?
Yeah.
Nah, it feels like it's probably like hour 35 or something
That's
like that.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Hour 35 is perfect.
Yeah.
I don't need 2.5 hour movies
anymore. True Romance
waste
is
the
long.
Time. Yeah. 2.5 hours, make it a two-parter.
Two-parter?
Yeah.
But the movies now, that's why I bailed from the superhero movies, because all those movies are 2.5 hours.
Easily.
Now,
how long was Gladiator?
Now, Gladiator was 2.5 hours, but look, I laughed, I cried, I wanted to go
beat
someone
else. You had all types of emotions in there.
Yeah. I forgot you cried at Gladiator.
I cried at Gladiator. I cried at Oppenheimer.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
I cried during Oppenheimer.
I know the movie, never seen it.
Oh, I watched. I went to see it twice by myself in the theater.
Wow. Jeez, this you get too much time.
Look.
Well, you know what? I'm not opposed to the movie by yourself thing.
Movie by yourself.
Yeah.
Is excellent.
Used to be golden, man. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't do it
best.
Nearly as much as I used to. But
my brother and I call it rolling loser style.
I don't do it anymore, as a matter of fact.
No.
Loser style to a movie is the greatest. You don't have to worry about, you know, anything. You just sit there.
Get your bucket
best.
Of popcorn, your drink.
So I know this could go in a weird direction if we did it as the next question.
Yeah.
But if we did the next question on something that you do that you don't think is weird, like going to the movies by yourself.
You think that's weird?
No, well, sort of. Yeah, I don't think I would ever do it.
Oh, it's great.
Okay, but you like it. You know what I mean? It's not usually not socially acceptable.
What world do you live in?
My world.
Oh, man.
Millions of friends.
Oh. You know what else is good, by the way? Doing by yourself? Stop it. Doing by yourself?
I was
along the lines of
thing.
The movie? And I normally...
That's pretty cool, too, to do by yourself.
Well, it's the best. But, like, this usually happens when I'm in another city for... It's usually for work.
Right.
Going to a restaurant, sitting at the bar, eating dinner, having a beer.
I agree.
By yourself.
I agree.
Oh, it's the greatest.
I agree, Jack. You got to do it, man. You got to be able to do it.
Yeah, dude.
Dinner for great. One?
You're staring at your phone. Nobody bothers you.
Yep.
Look at it, TikTok, eating guacamole.
See, that's an older guy thing, man. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, what age do you like that? Like, I mean, when did you realize, I guess, you liked doing a lot of things by yourself?
Well, the dinner thing.
At 30, did you like doing a lot of things by yourself?
No.
But I think it
probably
was...
Probably once you hit the 40s.
I think it was 5-6 years ago, I got invited to this thing. I got to go watch all this stuff at NASA in California.
Yeah.
And I went by myself.
NASA's in Texas.
The JPL is in California. The Jet Propulsion Laboratory is in California.
Oh, what nerd stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
Jet Propulsion.
Sorry. I was just watching a thing land on Mars. But anyway, so it was like 12 of us that were there and a bunch of people after the day ended. It's like, hey, we're all going out for dinner. You want to go? And I was like, no, I got something to do. All I wanted to do was go to a restaurant by myself. I went to a Mexican restaurant 2 blocks from the hotel. I ate the whole guacamole by myself, fajitas, had 2 IPAs, and passed out in the hotel room, fully clothed, laying on top of the sheets with the lights on. It was the greatest. Oh, yeah. It was the greatest. What a great day.
It sounds like a great memory from NASA.
Yep. I also saw the thing land on Mars, but the dinner was great. 215-592-9494, Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
Moving by yourself is weird if you're an old guy with a trench coat in the water.
Bro, nobody's going with a trench coat.
Yeah. If I see that guy going
not
there
Pee-wee
by himself.
Herman.
That's what I'm saying. That makes it weird, but moving by yourself is fine. I had no idea we had Eric Dickerson and Jack. You know, I took a pay cut to come to WIP.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What
shocking.
How about you? And how much you got paid to go to Bloomsburg?
Oh, yeah. Dude, they dropped the bag off in my front door. Yeah.
Took a pay cut to tag with the WIP. Yeah. Left the money on the table. It's right next to Cliff Lee's money on his table. What's up, Gary?
Do you think, like, that Brandon Graham on the way in was listening to the show and was just like, you know what? I had enough. You two knuckleheads need to get in a room. So this, I'm not letting it go down like last year where you two were not talking to each other for weeks on end and then we're falling backwards. We're going to get this, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off and move forward.
No, I don't.
Okay.
In other words, did listening to the show on his way to Chickies and Pete, was he influenced by hearing everybody talk about
the show, but just like not like just not just ripping the Band-Aid off, just moving on, like not letting it fester like last year?
Yeah, I do believe that was certainly part of his intentions. I think he believed there was something that needed to be addressed. Now, maybe this wasn't the conventional way of doing it, and it caused a little bit of a stir and a commotion for the Eagles and they and their PR department, and they have to sort of put a fire out, and I get that. But maybe he felt it was important enough to do and to address. And this, if nothing else, I don't know if everything is resolved. Here's the thing I do know it had to have happened. They had to come to some sort of meeting of the minds and sort of put this thing behind them and then go out and put a good face on it yesterday. So they had to come to that conclusion to agree to do that and at least be on the same page when they went in front of the media and had to answer questions. And I'm glad AJ was there to answer questions yesterday. It wasn't just Jalen for his regular presser every Wednesday. I'm glad AJ was there, and AJ addressed it, and now it's something we can move on from, G. I can only take them at their word. They say that they're good, and by the way, let me apologize to everybody. I didn't hear AJ say that they were good yesterday, so I kind of was implying that all he said was that their relationship is personal. I did hear afterwards multiple times where he said that they were good, that we're good, and Jalen said the same thing. So once you hear that, you gotta trust that they're giving it to you straight, and you move on from it.
You know what? With all this winning, let the PR department do something. Come on, they've been sitting back all
season.
Well, let me tell you, I'm sure
earned their pay.
They worked a lot after the Cleveland game. I'm sure.
Definitely.
And during training camp.
Yes.
You know, so
it's like they had a vacation in the middle of the season. Like,
9 weeks of it.
Yeah, vacation.
I'm sure they appreciate this.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah, if somebody else wants to give us a good quote after the game, we'd appreciate it. Gary,
I got a worm update.
Oh, okay.
Love this.
So Daddy said that, it was like an epiphany. He's like, oh, Jimmy Johnson. He's just like Jimmy Johnson. That's the coach he reminds me of. So that's what
I said. Sirianni?
Nick, yeah.
Reminds you of Jimmy Johnson?
No, Howard said it.
Howard said that.
Yeah,
Jimmy Johnson.
The worm said that.
Come on, man. No, hell no.
So now I'm thinking, and this
Jimmy Johnson.
Like an insider thing, that the only place that Elliott's worm can go is Vince Lombardi. Elliott.
He doesn't appreciate Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, Elliott's not a big Vince Lombardi guy.
Where would he go? Well, he would go straight to Andy Reid.
Yeah, he's got to say
Andy. That's a good one. He'll say Andy. He reminds me of a young Andy Reid.
Yeah. It doesn't call plays.
Yes.
Now, real quick.
He doesn't win the big one.
Jimmy Johnson won two Super Bowls. He also won a national title with Miami as well. And Nick Sirianni is...
Mountain Union's all-time leading receiver?
No, I don't think so. But they win a lot up there.
Gary, give us a cameo, famous cameo.
Can it be something that wasn't intended to be a cameo but became one?
Sure.
Sure.
The shark in Jaws. It wouldn't work, so they ended up doing all those scenes where you thought there was a shark and never really saw the shark.
Is that real? Is that true?
That's also not a cameo.
Also, you're just trying to be cute, Gary. answer the damn question.
You just say Brett Favre and something about Mary and hang up the phone.
Oh, that's another good one.
Well, I took it off the board.
That's a good one.
Bill Murray and Caddyshack, but I didn't.
But did you say Bill Murray and Caddyshack?
Yeah.
He's just an actor.
That's not a cameo. Gary, I want you to
look in the mirror, Gary.
Yeah, I want you to get off the phone. I want you to Google cameo and not the 80s R&B group, but the actual cameo is.
Word up.
Yeah, word up. It's a great tune. Did he just say Bill Murray and Caddyshack?
He's just a normal actor.
Yes, that's not a cameo.
Was it Seve Ballesteros, the golfer that was in that? The golfer was in Caddyshack.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Seve. Yeah. Seve Ballesteros.
You knew that was going to be.
What did you say?
I don't know. Ballesteros? I don't know.
No.
That was close enough.
I just stopped, honestly, in the middle of it.
Seve Ballesteros?
It wasn't going well.
It was like the names you were reading off at a thing you were at.
I know, dude. I got screwed on that. It was a great event. Would love to come back. But I need to actually read the names and get some pronunciation.
Send the names first, yes.
Well, again, your fault for not asking the questions.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you there. That's what you got to do with those things. All right. So the top 5-5 is next. What do we have to expect in this one, Jeff?
My favorite copes. That Eagles fans are currently doing about the team. Yeah, that my favorite
more mocking of Eagles fans.
It's not mocking. It's actually trying to help. I'm trying to get you to the real Eagles fan side.
I heard that last night.
Did you like that one?
Real Eagles fan thing. Yeah.
All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.